On September 12th of this year, in other words, last week, the Somerville police is looking for that man. I mean, the New York Post said that that man actually urinated at a veteran cemetery. He peed on those flags. And so the man who took the picture could not believe why that particular individual wanted to desecrate something that's sacred. And so the police, Somerville police, that's in Massachusetts, they're looking for that individual. So you can look it up. You Google it, and his picture showed up. Because, you know, they have those little flags. It's almost, you know, people that were in the service, that's a huge offense. The man who took that picture, he said, what possible reason could they have to desecrate a World War II memorial? My friends, you and I need to understand this. There are people that they don't care about the sacred. There are people in our society that they don't care about memorials or anything like that. You wanna honor that and revere that, respect it. There are people that they don't care. And you see that particular individual. But guess what? Even when you disrespect or desecrate something like that, actions such as that has severe consequences. You don't know what's going to happen to him. He will have to say why he did it when the police catches up with him. No respect at all. He will pay for his offense. Now, last week I talked to you about the memorial that Jesus gave us in communion. And thank you, Nelson, for such a nicely done meditation, reminding us of Jesus, and also the presentation of the gospel when we come together at the Lord's table. We talked about that Jesus Christ gave us a memorial by which we are to remember how we were saved, how he saved us. We remember him every time we partake of the emblems, the bread and the cup. He said, every time you do this, remember me. Do this in remembrance of me. The Lord's Supper or communion was instituted by Jesus himself that Thursday evening before he was betrayed and crucified. Now, question, do people desecrate Jesus' memorial? Absolutely. People do that all the time. Now, let me change my question. Do Christians desecrate Jesus' memorial? Yep. We do it, and sometimes we might do it without knowing it. And you see, this part of the Lord's table, we tend to read, like the one I presented to you last week, the memorial of our salvation. But there's a warning when it comes to celebrating, partaking of communion, that you and I need to be aware of, because we might be entering into God's judgment without knowing it. And as a preacher of the gospel, it's my job to tell you to the warning signs so that you and I don't do those things that might cause harm and God's wrath on us. There are a lot of Christians that have no regard or respect for the memorial that Jesus instituted. And it will be almost equivalent to what that man did to the veterans' memorial. Paul writes a letter to a church in Corinth. And we're going to spend time in 1 Corinthians 11, 26 through 34. It's a sequel to the sermon that I preached last week. Paul writes this letter to that church because that church was not doing exactly what God told them to do. And they were desecrating the Lord's memorial, even during the worship services. Remember, and Nelson touched on that a little bit about it, you sharing your faith. 1 Corinthians 11, 26, Paul is saying to the church that every time, for whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's where I left it off last week. Every time we do this, we're proclaiming, that's a testimony of our faith to the world. We proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And then after that, he goes into a warning mode. He goes into, hey, you got to be careful what you're doing because you need to know exactly what it is that you are approaching. Remember, in the Old Testament, a lot of people approached God in different way, and some people did not even make it out of the altar because God killed them right there. When you see God is so serious about what is sacred that you and I need to have the proper reverence, the proper respect, because you and I might get in trouble without knowing it. And this is where that part comes right here. Look at the following verses in verse 27 through following. Paul says, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. And man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. I mean, this is serious, church. I mean, sometimes how many times we hear that, we have heard sermons about this. Or really we pause to reflect on what it is that he's saying. Then he says, check this out. That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we judge ourselves, we will not come under judgment. When we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. So then, my brothers, when you come together to eat, wait for one another. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home, so that when you meet together, it might not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give you further instructions. Paul is giving this church instruction because something that they were doing during the worship service. I really wish that you get your Bible on this one. I mean, you know, every sermon, you always got to get your Bible because, you know, you might have things in here that's like, I don't quite agree with Israel, and that's okay. But you have to do your homework too. This sermon is based on the homework that I've done. But, you know, before you critique it, do your homework. Check it out yourself. Okay? So, Paul already told them, we proclaim the Lord's Day every time we partake of the Lord's Supper or communion. And then goes into the warning mode. He says, therefore, you know, therefore is connecting what he said previously. He said, therefore, anyone who eats the bread or drink the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the blood and body of Jesus. So in other words, when you drink or you partake of communion in an unworthy manner, you are guilty of the death of Jesus. I mean, that's a serious stuff. And it's like, perhaps, it's almost like, we need to. Now, what is this idea of unworthy manner? Now, you know that you and I are not worthy at all to even approach that. But, you know, we're worthy because of Jesus. Paul is talking about an unworthy way of approaching communion. The word for unworthy is the same word for irreverently or disrespectful. That's why I titled the sermon, Disrespecting Jesus. A lot of that church at Corinth, they were disrespecting Jesus every time they came together for worship services. And my friends, I pray that that's not be our case. Because, you know, look at what Paul is writing to them. It says, anybody who eats this bread or approaches the table in an unworthy manner, irreverently disrespecting the Lord, will be guilty of his death. Now, first, before we find out what unworthy manner is, we got to go back into the context. We got to go back. What was going on in this church? Why did Paul have to write to them like that? Only to them. Let me give you a tip for good students of the Bible. When you read a verse like that and you have no idea what it's talking about, read the 10 verse before that one. That's the context. Go back and find out what was happening in the church that Paul had to write to them and says, I mean, words like these, reprimanding them. He's scolding them because what they were doing in their gathering, in the worship service. So let's find out what was this unworthy manner that he talks about. So the background and the context is going to help us understand what was happening at this church. Let me take you back to verse 17. Louis had read that scripture before too. Verse 17 of 1 Corinthians 11, Paul said, in the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that there, when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there had to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. When you come together, it is not the Lord's Supper you eat. For when you eat, each one of you goes ahead without waiting for anybody else. One remains hungry, another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you for this? Certainly not. You know, in terms of like preaching the gospel, we always have to preach those good things that we lie, the love, grace, and mercy. But we also had to preach those warnings so that we don't make the same mistakes the Corinthian church made when Paul has to write. The whole counsel of the will of God, this is what preaching the gospel is all about. What was happening at the church? Paul says their meetings, their worship services were producing more harm than good. Isn't that sad that he would have to say that about a church, that when they came together, it was more harmful than good? So it wasn't beneficial to anybody when that church came together. So when he said the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. Isn't that sad? So that was something that was happening at that church in Corinth. Also say there were divisions in the church over certain leaders. Chapter 3 is a whole chapter of 1 Corinthians. You want to find out, some of you who take notes, chapter 3 tells you why the division. Paul planted a church. There was another man named Apollos and then Peter. Paul baptized certain people. Apollos baptized certain people. So the church was divided. Said, well, I belong to Apollos because he baptized him. I belong to Paul. And Paul had to finally say, who is Apollo? Who's Paul? Who's Peter? But we're servants. Christ is the one that you need to focus. We are servants of Christ, but the church was being divided over certain leaders. And so Paul said, when you come together, that's not good because you're showing divisions in the church. And then later on, they just come to the table as if nothing is happening. That's what's called unworthy manner. Look what he says. There was divisions in the church, verse 18. Also, chapter 3, verses 1 through 23. The eating, they're coming together, the partaking of meals together, and also the Lord's Supper, was not bringing honor to God. Because he says some people just, picture, we do that sometimes in churches, a potluck. Everybody brings a dish. Now, picture what was happening is that if I brought a dish and Louis didn't, I'm just eating my dish away with family, and Louis probably didn't bring anything, and I don't even care that he hasn't eaten. Paul says some people eat and there were others remaining hungry in the same group of people, in the same community. So it's almost like, how can that be? We're the church of God that, that we're not sharing with one another, that we're not having this communion with one another. So he says their eating was not being glorifying to God. People had no concerns for others in that church. Some were getting even drunk at the Lord's table. Now, you don't have to worry about that one because we don't have wine, But they used real wine back in those days. So they came to a worship service and people got drunk during their partake of the wine. Verse 21. And then Paul says, don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God? That's exactly what they were doing. They were despising the body of Christ, the church, because their meetings were not being productive, beneficial to one another. They created divisions. There were people creating divisions in the church. And then they will come to the table as if nothing happened. And Paul says, whoever eats this bread without recognizing the body of Christ, you're guilty of Jesus. So in an unworthy manner, that's what it is. Irreverent, because that was happening in the church, and they would just come together as if nothing was happening. He says, do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? Shall I praise you for this? Absolutely not. Now, what does Paul do after that? He calls the church to self-examination. And that's one of the things I always have to remember, examining ourselves. The word for examination here is judging ourselves. You judge yourself. Make sure that you're doing the right thing so that you don't enter into God's judgment. Look what he says. Verse 28. A person ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment. See, that's what we need to have a lesson on this thing, because sometimes, people treat the Lord, I've seen people that they just, because everybody participates, they just take communion too, like nothing, doesn't matter. You need to recognize what it is that this is. You need to recognize that what we're doing, because the same meal meant to bring us all closer together, meant for Jesus so that we remind ourselves of him, can become the means by which God pours out judgment on us. If we treat it with contempt, if we treat it lightly, a man ought to examine himself, judge yourself before you partake of communion. Examine yourself before you take of the bread and the cup. Participating without examination has consequences. The meal, the act, become the act of judgment. You eat and drink judgment on yourself. My friend, I don't want you to drink judgment on yourself. That's as a preacher of the gospel, I had to tell you this thing. I mean, that's there for a reason in the Bible. Because the Corinthian church did it, but 21st century, another church might be doing the same thing and not realizing it. And we need to understand what it is that God's calling us to do, to respect his memorial, not desecrating it. The church at Corinth was desecrating Christ every time they came together. Paul said it. Your meetings do more harm than good. Your meeting is not beneficial. I hear there's divisions among you. So you've been divided among each other, and then you come and partake of communion. You see, this is one of the sermons that probably you need to hear before you partake of communion again. So there's divisions, and then you partake of communion like nothing happened. And then he says, what you're doing, he says, you're drinking judgment if you're not examining yourself, recognizing the body of the Lord, he says. You disrespect Jesus when you partake of communion without discerning or recognizing the body of Jesus. When we come to the table to eat and we are being divisive among one another, my friends, we are drinking judgment. When you partake and you don't realize your actions is doing more harm than good, then you are drinking judgment. That is an unworthy manner. Now, Jesus said that unity of the body, the church, is what's going to tell the world truly who he is. In chapter 17 of John, Jesus prayed what's known as the priestly high priest prayer. And he said, Father, may they be one just as you and I are one. And by this, the whole world will know that you sent me. Now, what's happening in that church? The meal that was supposed to bring them together, people were being divided over there. In other words, they took no regard for Jesus' prayer. They took no regard for the unity. That meal that was supposed to bring them together now is going to become the means by which God will pour out judgment on that church. And he did. Look at how God judged the Corinthian church. When I read that, that's scary to me. And I have to pay attention because, man, what if God decides to do that in some churches in America today? Paul says, this is why many of you are anemic. That's why many of you are weak. And many are sick. And some have even died. All because they came to the Lord's table disrespecting Jesus. To me, that's like, man, Jesus is serious about that stuff, man. And I better be serious. Like, when I come to the table, I have to have the proper attitude so that I do not enter into judgment. I mean, Paul linked disrespecting the Lord's table to some people being sick in the community. Some people even have died because God just eliminated them. I mean, that's how serious he is about this idea of unity. I mean, you read chapter 3 in the same book in Corinthians. At one time he says, if anybody destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. I mean, God is serious about like the church being united. And we need to be serious about that too. We truly are to represent him. He said, Father, may they be one. The Corinthian church, they were not even one when they had a meal together. Somebody was hungry over there and they didn't even care about that person. They were not even being one when they came together because now they were divisive over leaders that led that church. Paul, Apollos, and even Cephas, Peter. And Paul just warned them, be careful when you come to the Lord's table because a man ought to examine himself so you don't enter into judgment with the Lord. Paul said that many of the Corinthian church came under God's judgment due to desecrating the Lord's. Look at verse 30 again. He says, that is why. Well, that is why. So read the verse before. 29. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That is why many of you are weak and sick, and many have fallen asleep. I mean, look at how serious that warning, that admonition is right there to the church at Corinth. Now, my friends, if you know anything about the church at Corinth, they were a really worldly church. There were so many all kinds of relationships having in that church, and Paul had, I mean, many of the letters, he had to reprimand them. People getting drunk on the worship services. There was a disorder, a disaster in that particular church because people were prophesying all at the same time. And at one time, Paul says, God is a God of order. If somebody comes to your meeting, they're going to think that all of you are out of your mind. So you see, the church was doing more harm than good. In other words, what does that mean? The church was not fulfilling Christ's prayer, Christ's mission to be one in the world, to represent him well. They were not even together, even when they had a meal to be together. Self-examination. Examine yourself so you don't come under God's judgment. His judgment is discipline. The Bible said in Hebrews 12 that God disciplines those he loves. You know that you're loved by God when he disciplines you. Now, discipline is never pleasant. Who here, who's any kid that said that, yeah, I love when my mom and dad discipline us, you'd be lying to themselves. We know that that's not pleasant. So God does the same thing to us as his children when we go the wrong way to get us back on track. The church needed to be back on track at Corinth because of what they were doing. And Paul writes that letter to them. And look at what he says about the Lord's discipline. But if we judge, verse 31, if we judge ourselves, we will not come under judgment. Judging ourselves, like before you do that, make sure that you're not causing division. Make sure that you're doing the right thing for the Lord. Make sure that you are showing concern for one another, because that's what, as a church, we're supposed to be. We're supposed to be doing. So, examine ourselves. You know, the Bible says, as long as it depends on you, live at peace. You know, so before you partake, because otherwise you might find yourself, like the Corinthians, drinking and eating judgment. And I don't want you and I to enter into judgment, my friends. Then he said, when, verse 32, when we are judged by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be condemned with the world. Now, it's interesting when you say, when we are judged by the world, you see that this judge is just evaluating us. The word condemned is, now you're against me. So it's like the word is like, so that we are not condemned with the world. So we judge ourselves, we examine ourselves, we will not enter into God's judgment. So then, my brother, he said, when you come together to eat, wait for each other. If anyone is hungry, he should eat at home. So that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. How many times did he say the word judgment in that just short portion? A lot, right? And when I come, I will give you further instructions. Paul is writing to them because he wasn't there. So I give you more instruction about that, but follow this so that you don't enter into God's judgment. Jesus gave us a memorial by which we are to remember our salvation, a memorial that depicts unity in the body. The Bible says the body of Christ is what now? The church. So this group of people, they had no concern for the church, because when you're causing division in a church, you don't care much about the church anyways. When you're causing, you know, you're not concerned for the brother and sister, you're not imitating Jesus. And, you know, the whole idea of participating of communion in an unworthy manner is when you approach that and you don't even realize what you're doing. This is serious stuff. The meal that is meant to bring us all together, that memorial is just meant to remind ourselves of Jesus, might become to me judgment if I approach it in an unworthy manner. That's why you always have to examine yourself. And some, you need to confess your sins right there. Do it, because you know what I mean? But don't go back into those sins. Do it right there before you approach that, because, I mean, isn't that amazing? A memorial is just a memorial, just like that guy. Yes, the Veterans Memorial is like, people consider that sacred. You desecrated it now. Police is looking for you. Because your actions have consequences. And that church at Corinth, Paul said it. You know what's going to happen to you? He said, that's why many of you are weak and sick, because many have fallen asleep, because you desecrated the church of Christ. You desecrated even the Lord communion, the Lord's table. We are warned not to desecrate, not to violate, or even not to disrespect Jesus when we partake of communion, we partake of this memorial. Paul advised people to examine themselves, to make sure that they're not being divisive in the church, make sure that they're concerned for one another, that your actions are bringing glory to God, and our attitudes are bringing glory to God. Otherwise, the Lord's table might become an opportunity for God to discipline us. And I don't want God to discipline me. I don't want God to discipline any of us. That's what we need to hear about, what the Lord is telling us. That happened 2,000 years ago at a church in Corinth. You see that happening all the time in churches all across the globe. People that just come to the table like, oh, you know, I like nothing, like they don't care. Like it's something lightly. You just, it's a juice and it doesn't matter. Yes, it's a symbol. But be careful that you respect that, because Jesus, I mean, he's serious about this thing. The very thing, like I said, that meant to bring us closer to Jesus can become the very thing by which God disciplines us. My friends, it's never fun to disrespect Jesus, and I don't want you to find yourself doing that. As a body of belief, as member of the body of Christ, examine ourselves, making sure that what we're doing is bringing, instead of bringing honor to Jesus, is bringing disrespectful to him. Because the respecting Jesus, according to what Paul says right here, I see it has severe consequences. He said, whenever you eat this bread and you drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, if anybody eats and drinks of the cup without recognizing the body or in an unworthy manner, you and I are drinking and eating judgment. Make sure that you examine yourself right now where you are with your walk with the Lord, where you are in your own worship with God. I cannot do that for you. I cannot help you with that. But you yourself can say, Lord, forgive me because maybe I have disrespected you. I was taking that lightly. I need to get back on track with you. Only you can do that. I cannot help. All we can do for your faith is to help you grow. But you are the one that said, Lord, I want to get right with you. Show me what I need to do. And you know how he shows us? When we spend time in his word. So the praise team is going to come and we're going to sing the song of invitation. So Paul warned that church, and we have the warning for us today so that we don't repeat the same mistakes of the Corinthian church did, because it has severe consequences. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for your word. I know that many times, Father, we read it and we just want to hear those sermons about loving and grace, and we neglect too that you are the God of just. You are the justice. And Father, forgive us when we take communion or we take the church or we think about the church in lightly terms and we disrespect you, Jesus. Forgive us when we might have been causing division we don't even realize. Lord, forgive us when we've been just trashing your body, realizing you loved us so much that you died for us and you asked us to be united as one body, as one community. Lord, may we show concern for one another. May we continue to imitate Jesus in our attitude, in our walking, so that everything that we do and say might always bring you glory, so we don't find ourselves being judged by you or disciplined by you. Thank you, Lord, for this time that we can remember and take heed of those things that you already laid out in the scripture. Those churches, every letter in the Bible, every church, they had struggles, and that's why those letters were written, to correct, to rebuke whatever needed to be corrected, Lord. May we follow the example of Jesus, and may we listen to the instructions of Paul as he's warning the church to do things in a worthy manner, not unworthy, but worthy to the Lord, so that he be pleased with us. And Lord, it's my prayer that you are pleased with the worship, that the songs that we sang, the meditations that we heard, it's all for you, Father. And I know that sometimes some of us struggle concentrating just to worship you, Lord. We shouldn't be like that. Forgive us, because really we should just take that time just to totally fix our eyes on you, because you created our salvation and you will finish it one day. All glory and honor is yours. And Lord, thank you for loving us, even when we become unlovable. It's all for you, Jesus. In your powerful name I pray. Amen.